Invite your attention to Acts chapter 3 for the scripture for this evening. We greet you in Jesus' name. We're happy to be here, and we're happy that he seeks and saves that which is lost. As we were singing that last hymn about his love, I was made to think of the verse, we love him because he first loved us. We're glad he did. Acts chapter 3, the first 11 verses. Now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. It's been quite an experience. Let's kneel before God as we pray.
We had made mention this morning that the story of Jesus is one that we find from the very beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelation. A weak area of my study is Old Testament study. I'm always enjoy listening to those who have done in-depth study into the Old Testament. And we can many times see the type of Christ. But over and over, as you make your way through the Old Testament, it's like weaved throughout all the books, you find Jesus Christ, or pointing toward him and his coming here to earth that first time. And so tell me the story of Jesus, as we said this morning, is a story of the entire Bible. Write every heart, or write every word on my heart. The tragedy of a man's life. We want to look at this account here in Acts chapter 3, in verses 1 through 11. We live in a world that is full of tragedy. We hear countless stories from around the world of those who have experienced tragedy in life. It doesn't seem like there's any day that if you listen to the news or check the news, possibly from an internet website or wherever you get your news, that it's not story after story of tragedy. Tragedy in the lives of individuals. Some experience tragedy as a result of natural forces of nature. Some have experienced tragedy because of financial tragedy. Some have experienced tragedy as a result of accident. And then there are those other individuals that have experienced tragedy at the hands of another individual. Our attention is drawn to those whose tragedy has turned to triumph. Where bad has turned to good, and when a nobody at times becomes a somebody because of a tragic situation within their life, but it's turned out to be a good situation, and it's turned out for good. Many of us possible, it's 5 years ago now, just back here in October. Many of us might recall the 33 Chilean miners who were buried underground, 2,000 feet underground for 70 days. And I can still remember one occasion when they were bringing each of those miners out, and around the world, I believe the eyes of individuals were watching as they began that count from 1, 2, 3, waiting for that number 33 to come up out of that ground. I can remember standing in a store and the television screen was there, and I even paused to watch as one more individual made their way out of that underground tunnel. It was only back here at the beginning of September, possibly around the 8th or the 9th, I can't recall the exact date. Some of you may have heard of the little 4-year-old boy in Mississippi who fell into a 25-foot well, which was just over 1 foot, or was just over 1 foot in diameter. And after 4 hours of rescue individuals attending to his situation, he was pulled from that well. And there was much rejoicing. Acts chapter 3 tells us of a man who experienced a terrible tragedy in his life, but he was granted deliverance. It's an account, if we just read as it is written, as one of maybe a part of history or a story that we find in Scripture. It's an account that we see tragedy that has been turned into something good. An individual, for I believe many, or some, it is believed 40 years, never had walked, gains deliverance and the use of his legs and his feet. But I believe tonight, as we look at this account and as we consider it for a few moments, I believe more important than a bad story with a happy ending is what this story represents. This account, I believe tonight, is a beautiful illustration of what Jesus Christ has done for every born-again child of God. And tonight it gives us a picture of what Jesus Christ wants to do for every individual who is without Jesus Christ. As mentioned in our opening, who would find themselves a sinner, one who is lost. This account illustrates of what God wants to do in bringing us out of that situation to a place of deliverance. Jesus Christ can transform the tragedy of life, shackled by sin, into a life set free by salvation. And so tonight we want to consider 3 areas of study. The first area we want to consider is the tragedy of a man's life. The second area that we'll consider is the transformation of a man's life. And then the third is the testimony of a man's life. And you can put individual in there, man or woman, as we look at those 3 areas briefly tonight in our study. First, let's consider the tragedy of a man's life. Peter and John go up into the temple at an hour of prayer, we're told here. The Jews offered prayer at the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour of the day. The Jewish day starts at 6 a.m. in the morning. And so the times of prayer were 9 o'clock, noontime, 12 noon, and 3 in the afternoon. This account takes place in the ninth hour, at 3 in the afternoon. This would have been the time of evening sacrifices. This would have been a time that the area in which this man sat and he begged would have been a very busy time, and many people coming through. And he was at a place where he could beg for alms, it says, beg for money for his daily existence. We find in the account and from scripture here a certain lame man who was lame from his mother's womb. He seeing Peter and John asked money of them. This lame man, as we made mention of a few moments ago, never enjoyed or never had the joy of walking. He never had the joy of running. He never had the joy of an independent life where he could get out of a chair like we do without even thinking and walk to another room, to another location. This man never experienced that. He never had the opportunity to work to support himself, even though at times I myself grumble at times because of our work and our schedule that we have. But this man, all his life, begged others for his food, his daily substance, just one more day of food. He sat begging. And scripture tells us, and each day he was carried by others to his place at the Gate Beautiful, where he would spend his day begging. This is a picture tonight as we look at this scripture and make it applicable to you and I and to the lesson of the evening. This is a picture of every person born into this world. We were all born in a desperate situation, which is called sin. This lame man was born into the desperate situation of being lame. But tonight, all of us were born into the desperate situation of sin. And Romans 3, verse 23, the familiar verse to all of us says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us, everyone here tonight, everyone outside these walls, all individuals have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This man's physical condition separated him from society around him and forced him to be a beggar. Tonight, sin separates us from God. We are spiritual beggars. We have nothing to offer God. We are beggars before He who has everything and is everything. This is the condition of every individual without Jesus Christ in their life before God. We were spiritually crippled and helpless to deliver ourselves from our sinful condition. We were hopeless. This man begged at the Gate Beautiful. The Gate Beautiful was one of the nine gates, it's my understanding, was one of the nine gates that led through a partition known as the Middle Wall of Partition. Gentiles nor Jews who were physically deformed in any way were allowed beyond this point. This man had gone in the temple area as far as he could go. They were never allowed in the main temple area. Josephus says that this gate was bigger than any of the others. Listen, magnificent gate. It was 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. It was made of Corinthian brass overlaid with gold. And it took 20 men to close it. For this cripple, this was a place of beauty. And as he begged for others to give of their money, a place for him of bounty. Many today are begging in a world of beauty and bounty for what will satisfy for just what? Another day. Many tonight are begging in a world of beauty and bounty, some of them just for a few more moments of satisfaction. And it comes in all areas. It comes in the use of mind-altering drugs. If just for a few more moments, a few more hours, I can find some kind of satisfaction to somehow ease the pain, possibly for some of this never-dying soul that cries out. And others are using drink of intoxication for satisfaction for a few more nights, a few more months, possibly a few more years. And then there's others who are living a life of sexual immorality for what? A few more moments, a few, for satisfaction. They're surrounded by a world, or they are surrounded by beauty and bounty of this world. But tonight they are wrapped in spiritual darkness, separated from God because of their sin. The tragedy of an individual's life without Jesus Christ. Secondly, as we in this account, we see the transformation of a man's life, and that's in verse 4. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." Peter and John responded to the crippled man's cry for help. And fastening their eyes on him as they walked past, Peter said, "Look on us." And the man gave heed, expecting to receive something. Because possibly for hours, individuals would drop a few more alms his way. He listened, expecting to receive some money to help momentarily ease his desperate situation. But this man didn't need money as badly as he needed a miracle. And like many individuals in our day who think all they need to do is turn over a new leaf, possibly another New Year's resolution, possibly just a change of environment, as we mentioned this morning, or a change in circumstances, to find deliverance from this desperate situation of sin. What individuals who are in this situation, this desperate situation of sin, need tonight is a miracle. And it's called the new birth. We
which
brings individuals new life. Verse 6 says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what? Rise up and walk." Peter invited this man to exercise his faith in Jesus Christ that he might be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And I want us to pause here just for a moment. And what I want us to think of our life, maybe the past week, the individuals we walk by, and possibly the individuals we'll know will walk by tomorrow. Is it possible tonight that in our busy world we're not listening for the cry of one individual who's crying out for help? And I am too busy, and I either just pass by quickly or pass by giving something, whatever that is, to provide ease for their need, not taking the time to present to them the message of one who can change a life, the message of one who can give them new life and take them from that desperate situation and make them a new creature. And his name is Jesus, who is the Christ. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, the end of that verse says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope, reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." And I think of that verse a time because I wonder how many times I've passed people by that needed a word from me. Maybe a word of encouragement, but many times a word lifting up Jesus Christ. Many had walked by this man. Many years this man was there. Many walked by this man giving him money, but they had found him a beggar, and they left him a beggar. Year after year after year after year, they found him a beggar and they left him a beggar. Verse 7, Peter takes him by the right hand and he lifts him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. This crippled man who was a beggar reaches out in faith and he receives a new life. This account, as we said, illustrates the desperate condition of all those who are separated from God by their sin, spiritual beggars. But tonight, if you reach out in faith to Jesus Christ, he will give you a new life. He will take you from being a beggar of this world to being a child of his, to being a child of the King, one who is now one who has eternal life with him. Verse 19 says that later on in this account, Peter preaches a sermon, and in verse 19 it says, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out." New life, or the new birth tonight, is a miracle. To be converted is an act of God. None of us can convert ourselves, but we repent and we reach out in faith to Jesus Christ, and the new life, being a new creature, is an act of God's. Conversion has been illustrated this way, and possibly for some of us who are, maybe you're a visual learner and seeing something or drawing an image in your mind is helpful in your learning. We all learn differently. We're in different ways. Conversion has been illustrated by picturing a total circle, line drawn on the outside of that circle. And if you split the circle in half, and you put repentance on one side, and you put faith on the other side. Repentance, as we were reminded in the opening, repentance tonight is confessing our sin before a holy God. Confessing is acknowledging that I have sinned against a holy God. I have grieved a holy God. And then it is a turning. It is a turning from that sin and going the other direction. As our brother mentioned, it's just not feeling sorry for what I have done and for my sin. But it's that confession of sin, and it's that turning and saying, I'm going to go the other direction. And then faith is reaching out to Jesus Christ, receiving Him. Believing in Him. And then God, when we repent, when we confess, repent, and in faith believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then God gives us new life. God makes us a new creature. God changes you into His child. And that tonight, as we said, is the act of God. We repent, we in faith receive Jesus Christ in conversion, a new creature, and a new life is the act of God. All made possible tonight because Jesus Christ came from the glories of heaven. God knew that sometime down through, He had a time that sometime through the hall, down through the halls of time, that He would send His Son and that He would send Him to this earth. Live the perfect one to live a sinless life. And give His life of ransom on a hill called Calvary. The perfect sacrifice once for all. For you and me. He died there for your sins. For my sins. He was put in a tomb. Tonight, praise God, the tomb is empty. He rose the third day, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father, where He intercedes on our behalf. The tragedy of a man's life, the transformation of a man's life, the testimony of a man's life. The result of this man's faith was that he was healed immediately. Immediately it says that his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 8. So it is with salvation tonight. When an individual reaches out in faith to Jesus Christ, salvation is immediate. The results are immediate. We do not walk or we do not work until we accumulate enough merits. We do not hope someday to be changed. We do not somehow feel that we put off that decision because someday we'll be a better person. But salvation, when it comes to an individual on no merits of our own, is immediate. For 40 years, this man had been begging and is now up and jumping around. This man had been set free from the physical chains that held him a prisoner all his life. Why would he not tonight think of that? Why would he not be beside himself with joy? To be able to walk and to go walking and leaping. Because now his legs move, his feet work. For the first time in all those years. Oh, I can only imagine the joy that must have flooded this man as he experienced that healing there, that physical healing. But I believe tonight, brothers and sisters, we have been set free from the chains of sin and darkness that held us prisoners and in bondage. And tonight we ought to be full of joy. Your salvation should have brought joy to your life. A deep inner joy. We sing that little song sometimes. I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to what? Stay. We ought to be, as God's people, a fountain of joy. That doesn't mean that we walk around and everything is just, we're always happy and smiling and everything's fine. In fact, I meet some people that it doesn't matter what happens to them, they're just great. Well, we're not always great. At least I'm not. There's struggles in life that are hard. Painful. What salvation does is brings us a joy in the heart. And even in those times when the burden almost gets so heavy that we wonder at times how much more we can have a joy in our heart knowing that we serve a sovereign God. And one who's caring for us and watching over us in whatever situation we find ourselves. I want to turn just briefly, and I believe we have the time to go back. You don't need a turn, but if you want to turn back to Psalm 40, this illustrates in these verses what I've been trying to bring to your mind these last few moments. In Psalm 40, the psalmist writes, he said, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And then he says what? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. Maybe it's hard for us sometimes to understand. For me, one who has been in church, been in Sunday school here before I even knew or can remember, I should say. It's hard to maybe envision or to place ourselves in that horrible pit. The miry clay. Because we've been in church all our life, but we have been brought out of that horrible pit of sin. That horrible pit of bondage. And then in verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. The next phrase, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. In verse 8, this man is praising God. In verse 9, he is praising God. He praised God and gave God the glory. He follows Peter and John into the temple area, praising God, a place where he was forbidden to go as a beggar. The testimony of a changed, The testimony tonight is a changed life. The testimony of a changed life is transformation. Something happened in this man's life. The man's transformation was obvious to others. Verse 10 says, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Question for you, for me. Is the new life which we have been given in Christ obvious to others? This new life was not ever intended to be given to us to be locked behind closed doors of a closet somewhere. This new life is to be obvious to others. How might the story have been written if this man would have stood up thanking Peter and John, then sat back down and continued to beg because he liked the benefits of being a beggar? We'd say, how foolish. He could have had a new life, but he chose a life of a beggar. So it is tonight with salvation. How foolish it would be to be given new life, but yet continue on, or attempt to continue on in our old life and in the world. The testimony of the new birth is a changed life. No longer a beggar in this world, but now new life in Jesus Christ. Where old things are passed away and all things become new. Some may claim a new life in Jesus Christ, but they continue to walk in darkness and enjoy the benefits of being a beggar in this world. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Listen, you've heard it many, many times. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, what's it say? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The hymn writer, the songwriter, writes these words, like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless and alone, then I met the master, now I'm one of his own. Like a blind man who walks in darkness, I had searched for the light, then I met the master. And now I walk no more, no more in the night. For all things were changed, all things, when he found me. A new day broke out all around me, for then I met the master. The man stayed close to Peter and John. Peter uses the opportunity to share with the crowd the matchless name of Jesus Christ in verses 12 through 26. It is there that we have record of Peter's second sermon, and the theme is Jesus Christ. We know the account as we close in John 3, verse 7. We know the account that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night. Then said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus speaking. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then he told this man, he said, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The command from the Master is still that. You must be born again. Tonight, I don't know where you are, what situation you find yourself in. I know tonight that the call still goes forth, and there's a loving Savior that has his hand out reaching. And he's still calling individuals to come to him for new life, to be a new creature, to have life eternal. Maybe tonight, there's an individual here, or individuals here, that God is calling you to this new life. He wants to give, if you will reach out, confession, repentance, and faith, believing on Jesus Christ. Or maybe, as our brother mentioned in the opening, we come with other needs. There's appropriate time when we make some kind of a public acknowledgement that there's a need in our life. There's times when that is done. Last Sunday, a brother came by the door and he said, expressed to me an area of his life where he's struggling, and he said, please pray for me. There's a place for that. There's also a place for individuals to acknowledge, I have a need, and to meet with brethren, to pray, and receive counsel. We give you opportunity tonight, however God is calling you. We would ask you to just pause as we sing this song and think, how will you respond? How will you respond to God's calling tonight? What number shall we sing? 725. So we sing this song. If you want to respond tonight to God's calling, I ask you to stand or come forward as we sing.